Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
Wow, that's very dramatic. I think that's going to be a little more dramatic than the message, maybe. I don't know. How is that for drama? I'm not going to let a little thing like a video outdo my drama. It's great to be with you, Sunrise. It's been a minute. But I'm so glad to be back, and we had a fantastic night Friday night. If you're here for Grow Night, that was a great night. I want to encourage you, if you have not come to a Grow Night, you've got to jump in on those Grow Nights. They're just excellent. Very good job on the team, Pastor Chris, especially Coach Chris. Great job. And yeah, we had a good time. And then last night, the kids. Was anybody here for the kids? Wasn't that amazing? That was amazing. Because, listen, I've been to a lot of kids' projects, you know, kids' things. But did you see the heart of worship exuding from those kids last night? It wasn't just a production. They actually meant every word they were singing and doing. And so that was a fantastic. It's been a great weekend. And now we get to be together today. I'm going to continue on our theme of Nehemiah. Now, you may or may not know that I actually am with you many, many Sundays. And you're saying, wait a minute, you're a pretty large fellow. I think we would see you if you'd been here. No, I was online. So I just want to say shout out to the online community. I'm on this side of the camera this time. Usually I'm making comments on the other side. And but we love Sunrise Church. Sandy and I often join you on YouTube, on our TV, and we just love to be part of things here when I'm not speaking somewhere. And so I've been watching the series. I've watched every one, and I just love this series. It's been so good. Have you enjoyed Nehemiah? I love Nehemiah, the whole book. And so when Pastor Chris asked if I'd share today, he said, just do what you know, you don't have to follow our pattern. I said, no, I'm jumping in on this Nehemiah story. So hopefully, whoever's speaking, you know, next time they're bringing up Nehemiah, I'm messing your message up, because that would be good, just for fun. Anyway, I'm titled this, The Favor of God. Now, I'm spelling it U.S. style, because it was just easier than changing every slide I had. So I do know how to spell it in Canada. I just wanted you to know. So we're going to talk about the favor of God today, and you know, we of course look at the Bible, and we believe in the Bible. We believe it's the infallible, inspired, authoritative Word of God, and it's made up in Old Testament and New Testament, and it's all the story of Jesus. How many love Jesus? Yes. Now, we're going to be reading from Nehemiah, and I love this new practice that we have at Sunrise, and that is having somebody come up and read the passage of Scripture I'm covering today in their mother language. I think that's so awesome. And so we're going to invite Pastor Ike to come up, one of my favorite people in the world. Oh, yeah, sorry. Microphone. Well, actually, probably the one person in the room that doesn't need a microphone.
Okay, so I'll be reading from Nigeria, one of the main tribes, Igbo tribe, and believe one of the lost tribes of Jewish nation.
Beautiful.
So, akwụkwọ Nehemaya isi nke abụọ site n'amaokwu nke iteghete wee bịakwute ndị na-achị ala n'ofe osimiri wee nye ha akwụkwọ ozi eze. Ma eze ziri ndị isi usu ndị agha na ndị ịnyịnya so m jee. Sambalat bụ onye Horam, na Tobias bụ Oru bụ onye Amon, wee nụ ya, o wee dị ha njọ nke ukwuu na mmadụ abịawo ịchọrọ ụmụ Izrel ọdịmma. M wee bata Jerusalem, nọ n'ebe ahụ ụbọchị atọ, m wee bilie n'abalị, mụ onwe m na ndị ikom ole na ole soro m. Ma egosikwa mmadụ ọbụla ihe Chineke tinye n'obi m imere Jerusalem. Ọ dịghịkwa anụ ụlọ dị n'ebe m nọ, ọ bụ naanị anụ ụlọ ahụ nke m na-anọkwasị, wee si n'ọnụ ụzọ ama na ndaragwugwu pụọ n'abalị, wee ruo n'iru isi dragọn, rukwaa n'ọnụ ụzọ ama ebe a kpọfuru ahịhịa, wee lee mgbidi Jerusalem niile anya, bụ nke etipụsịrị etipụ, ọkụ eripịwo kwa ọnụ ụzọ ama ya niile, wee gabiga ruo ọnụ ụzọ ama isi iyi, rukwa ọdọ mmiri eze. Ọ dịghịkwa ebe anụ ụlọ nke ndị n'okpuru ya ga-agabiga, wee rigoro na mmiri iyi n'abalị, wee na-ele mgbidi ahụ anya, wee chigharịa baa n'ọnụ ụzọ ama ndaragwugwu wee laghachi. Ma ndị nọchiri anya eze amaghị ebe m jere maọbụ ihe mụ onwe m na-eme. Egosikwara m ndị juru ugwu a, egosikwara m ndị nchụàjà, egosikwara m ndị amara aha ha, egosikwara m ndị nọchiri anya eze, egosikwara m ndị fọdụrụ ndị na-eje ozi ahụ, wee sị ha, unu onwe unu na-ahụ ọnọdụ ọjọọ nke anyị onwe anyị nọ n'ime ya. Na Jerusalem bụ mkpọmkpọ ebe na erukwakọrọ n'ọnụ ụzọ ama ya niile n'ọkụ. Bịa ka anyị wuo mgbidi Jerusalem, ka anyị ghara ịbụkwa ihe ịta ụta ọzọ. Wee gosi ha aka Chineke nke dị mma n'iru m, na okwu niile nke eze kwa nke ọ gwara m. Ha wee sị, ka anyị bilie luo mgbidi. Ha wee mee ka aka ha dị ike n'ime eze ihe, ime ezi ihe. Sambalat bụ onye Horam, na Tobias bụ Oru bụkwa onye Amon, na Geshem bụ onye Arab, wee nụ ya, ha wee chịa ya ọchị, leda ya anya, sị, gịnị bụ ihe nke a unu onwe unu na-eme? Ọ bụ eze ka unu na-enupụ isi megide? M wee zaghachi ha okwu, sị ha, Chineke nke eluigwe ya onwe ya ga-eme ka ihe gara aga anyị nke ọma, ka ihe gara anyị nke ọma. Anyị onwe anyị bụkwa ndị oru ya, ga-ebilikwa lụọ mgbidi. Ma unu enweghị oke maọbụ ọnọdụ ziri ezi maọbụ ihe ncheta n'ime Jerusalem. I will now read it in English.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Who understood him? Who understood it? It's got to be. That's awesome.
Amen. Okay. So Nehemiah 2, reading from verse number 9. It reads, so I went to governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letter. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sambalat the Horonite and Tobias the Amorite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I have not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mouths with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal. well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate at the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mouth to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and rendered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests of the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the word of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start to rebuild it." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonites, Tobias, the Ammonite officials, and Gex, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historical right to it." May God bless the reading of the word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you. That is amazing. This story, I love the Nehemiah story. The amazing part, when we think about it, if we just quick review, is that he was in captivity. Nehemiah, his land was taken, and he was imprisoned or put into service of the king under rule. It wasn't because he was there because he wanted a good job. And by the way, he risked his life every single day by simply tasting the wine. He was the cupbearer. And so for the king, he wanted to make sure that, somebody didn't try and poison him. So Nehemiah, every single day of his life, put his life at risk to serve the king. That's amazing. And it was in captivity, in the moment. How many here have ever felt captive to something? I was in addiction for years. I had an addiction to drugs and alcohol, and it held me captive. It took my life over. It ruled everything in my life. And I can't imagine in that moment of captivity that I would have been able to hear from God and be touched by God. And yet, in the middle of my captivity, God met me where I was at. He met me where I was at. That's why I think I love the story of Nehemiah so much. It's about rebuilding the walls of his home. And I think about it in terms of our lives. God wants to rebuild the walls of our life. He wants to rebuild the things that we have lost through captivity in this world and in our lives. Amen? So we're going to just break this down a little bit. And I'm hoping that I can actually help with just simplifying the favor of God. Taking the complexity, make it very practical for you so that you can walk in the favor of God. How many know here today that you have the favor of God resting on you? He loves you. He loves you. He is for you. The Bible tells us that if he's for you, who could be against you? And yet, in life, sometimes it feels like everything's against us. Sometimes it's so difficult. I'm just going to read in Nehemiah 2:8, which is where Coach left off last week. And I just want to read it, and then I'm just going to read a few scriptures on the favor of God, and I'm just going to break it down for us. It says, "And please give me a letter addressed to the," he's speaking to the king here, and he's saying, "addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress and for the city walls and for the house, a house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. That's where Coach left off last week. Wasn't that a good message? the gracious hand of God was on me. Grace is unmerited favor. That's what the word grace means. It means unmerited favor. So we could read it that way. Because the unmerited favor of God was over me, was on me. And we're going to break this down a little bit today. It goes on then, as we've just heard, it says in verse 9 and 10, when I came to the governors of the province west the Euphrates River, blah, blah, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, should add, had sent along many army officers and horsemen to protect me. One thing I want to just say right off the bat is when you're under the favor of God, he protects you. He protects you. It doesn't mean that harm doesn't come to us in the natural, but he protects you. He is watching over you. And I'm going to share a bit more on that in a bit. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the Amorite officially heard of my arrival, they were very displeased. Another thing we need to know is when we walk in the favor of God, it stirs up the spirit realm. There will be opposition. Don't mistake opposition for that God's not at work, because Jesus is always working, even when you don't see him working. Love that song, right? But they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. But now I said to them, this is verse 17, 18, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me. There it is again. And I told them how the unmerited favor of God was on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes. Let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. Isn't that amazing? He comes and he just simply says to them, the hand of God is upon me, the gracious hand of God is upon me. And they instantly said, yes. They'd been living, I want you to get the picture, they'd been living under captivity. They risked their lives trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This wasn't even a hesitation. It wasn't even a question. It's like, yes, let's get to work right now. They recognized the favor of God on Nehemiah. Do you recognize the favor on God when it's active around you? Or do we get kind of competitive and jealous and look, oh, look at them. Look, they're doing for God. Or do we compare like, oh, I could never do that for God. Folks, I want to declare over you today, the gracious hand of God is upon you. It's upon you. But then, remember Sanballat and his friends, Tobiah and Gesem, the Arab, heard of our plan, and they scoffed contemptuously. Have you ever been scoffed at contemptuously? Man, I have been. I don't have time for the whole story, but there was one time I worked in youth ministry for many years. It was really close to my heart when I came out of my addiction. It was youth that God called me in to serve. And we had a young man in our town that I was trying to reach. And he was hard. He didn't want anything to do with God. And he actually, contemptuously scoffed at me whenever he got a chance. We had a youth center and he would show up just to try and tear things up and to disrupt. And one night he came in and he had a shotgun in his hand and he was going to kill me. But the gracious hand of God was upon me. And he couldn't pull the trigger. He couldn't do it. He was frustrated. He was even, what's wrong with this? And he couldn't do it. By the way, that night he left very angry, and I heard later on that he actually ended up shooting somebody that night. He was out to do something, but the gracious hand of God was upon me to protect me in that moment. But I also had a chance to go visit him and actually show him the love of Jesus. And he softened his heart very quickly. He actually said to me, he says, why are you here? I can't believe it. I was going to kill you. And if that gun had worked, I would have killed you. Why are you here? And I said, because Jesus loves you. And that's why I'm here, to tell you that he loves you. And that whatever got you to the place of anger that night, you don't have to ever be there again if you just ask Jesus to put his gracious hand, I didn't use those words, but his gracious hand upon you. Amen? So here's, So then it says, what are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king, they asked. And then I replied, and I love this, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding the wall. Sunrise Church, the God of heaven will help you. Amen. The God of heaven, whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstance is, you can call on him at any moment and he will help you. I believe this, and I believe this is a prophetic word over you. The favor of God is resting on you, Sunrise. The favor of God is resting on you. And in case, and before you think I'm talking about a church gathering, no, you are the church, and he's given you that unmerited favor in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your families, wherever you are, Sunrise is expanding. And wherever you are, the kingdom of God is expanding. In Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's a beautiful promise that God's favor will always and has always outweighed his judgment, because he put that judgment on Christ. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price, so that we would not have to today, so that we could have his favor in our lives for a lifetime. Amen? Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. He bestows favor and honor. That means he places favor and honor on you. That's amazing. And by the way, that is not a moment to get proud and get puffed up. Remember, pride puffs up or it covers up. So it's all from shame. So we either puff up to try and cover the shame, or we cover up by hiding. But listen, when you know, if you can have a revelation today, that's my prayer, that the Lord has bestowed favor and honor upon you, it will humble you. It will make you grateful and full of gratitude. That will be the sign. So if you're wondering, am I receiving the favor of God? Am I walking in the favor of God? If you feel humbled and grateful, yes, you are walking in the favor of God. If you feel like, whoa, I'm better than everyone else, you are not walking in the favor of God. You're walking in the lie of an enemy. Amen? Amen. I might just do a little sidebar here. Probably the North American church has been too much of the, oh, I'm better than you. And I believe God's shaking that right now. He's shaking and he's exposing that attitude and that heart. And he is putting us in a place where we can actually walk in the favor in the way he's designed it to be. And that is that we would serve him and expand his kingdom, that we would bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the favor that he's given us is for us to give to others. That's what it's to be used for. It's not for us to get a leg up. It's for us to help someone step up. Amen? Amen. Psalms 5, couple more verses, 5:12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield. His favor is a shield. Think about that for a minute. Proverbs 3:3-4. Actually, if you're here Friday night, this was going to be in... We had to cut off early because I went on too long. I'm just a talker. But this verse was in there. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Isn't that amazing? Let loyalty and kindness, never let it leave you. Tie it around your neck as a reminder. I think it's a reminder for us, but it also reminds others that there's something different about us. And we want to find the favor of God. So grace is unmerited favor. And Sunrise, I just want to say, you have the favor of God. I'm going to say that quite often today. You have His grace. Are we not saved by grace? We're saved by grace because He loves us. It's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. When I was captive in my drug addiction, when I was captive, I had taken a job and moved on. I told the testimony Friday night, but my wife and I, we were separating. We didn't really talk about it, but she wasn't coming because she was done with my addiction and everything that was going on. And yet, in the middle of all of those choices I made, God's grace never lost sight of me. His unmerited favor never lost sight of me. I lost sight of it. I lost sight of Him. But He never lost sight of me. So I want to give you an example. God's favor is kind of like an umbrella. Now, I asked to borrow this umbrella, and BC Lions, go Lions! Forget them Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I choose the Lion of Judah. Favor of God's like this umbrella. And I thought, you know, I was thinking about, God, what could I use as an illustration to make this really simply understood? And I thought to myself, if anybody would understand an umbrella and rain illustration, it will be the people that live in the coast. When we walk in the righteousness of Christ, we walk in God's favor. It's a choice. We stand in His favor. When we get close to Jesus, and we hold on to Jesus, we have His favor as like a covering. So it doesn't matter what storm is going on in your life. Doesn't matter what is raining down on you. You can stand under the favor of God by being close to Him. You see, He's relational. And yet many times in our walk of faith, we treat it like it's a transaction. We pray and ask God to do this and to do that. And if we see somebody else getting a prayer answered, but we don't have a prayer answered, you know, we compare and we look at that. But many times when we approach God, it's transactional rather than relational. And God is relational. If we want to walk into God's favor, it comes through relationship with Him. When we are transactional, we then walk in self-righteousness. This is important to understand. You see, it's not God who is punishing you because you're not doing what He, you know, this isn't about morality. It's not about morality. The word sin means that we've missed the mark in some way. This is about missing the mark. This is about not understanding what God's goodness is for us. And so what happens is when we are transactional, we want to look at certain things, our circumstances, for example, to point us whether God's in our life or not. It's transactional. It's like, oh God, you know, I got this problem and that problem and this, you know, I just, you know, where are you? Have you ever felt that way? Where are you, God? He's right here. He's never left you. He'll never forsake you. He's with you. But when we leave home, let me put it this way. When you leave the house and it's raining out and you forget to take your umbrella, is it the umbrella's fault that you're getting wet? Isn't that simple? It's not the umbrella's fault that you're getting wet, folks. It's because you've left the umbrella at home. When we don't stay close to Jesus relationally, if we only see Him as transactional, what does that look like? Well, we go to church Sunday, and we'll worship Him on Sunday, because that's what we should do. That's transactional. And then the rest of the week, we'll just kind of mud through our week and try and get through it and whatever, and we'll come next week and acknowledge God again. That's transactional. It does not mean that the favor of God is not with you. It means that you are not seeing it. You're not seeing it. You see, here's the thing. Circumstances don't determine the favor of God. The favor of God will determine their circumstances. 10 years ago, about, Sandy and I lost our place to fire. We lost everything. I think I've told the story before, but in this context, we lost everything, and it was hard. It was devastating, especially for Sandy. That was our nest, you know, and it was also, we had just moved in, and it kind of represented something for us. So we had downsized, our kids had grown, got married, moving on. So we were thinking, you know, we can go do ministry and go on missions trips, and we can just lock the door and not worry about the yard and all the dog and, you know, all that. And so we had big, this wasn't just a move, it was a big plan with the move. And when it didn't happen, we had two choices. And we kind of altered between them at times. When the fire happened, we ended up being out of our home for 2 years. Still had to make the mortgage payment, still had to make condo fees, we still had to pay insurance, even though insurance didn't pay us. There was a glitch, and they didn't pay us all that was due to us. It put us out, and it really affected us, where they would have paid for us to be out somewhere, they would have paid rent and all that. That was reduced to like a little bit of amount. And we know the cost of living, right? And so we had to live in three different places over 2 years by the grace of people offering them to us. And it was hard. So we could have looked at this whole thing, these circumstances, saying, where were you, God? Why weren't you with us? Why do we have to lose everything that we own? What was going on? What? I hate insurance companies. I did that one, by the way. That's a true story. Like, what? Why do we have to live in these basements and different places? We don't have any, you know, kind of stability or anything like that. Why is that going on? Or we could stay close to Jesus, which is what we did. And we were grateful that our lives were spared. And not only was our lives spared, I was able to carry an old gentleman down the stairs and out the door and saved his life. The insurance company didn't come through, but six different churches took up offerings for us in town. Six different churches, all different denominations, different ilks, whatever. They heard about it, and they took up offerings, and we were able to go to Mexico for 2 weeks just to get out of Dodge and rest and recoup and restore, and that was a blessing. The favor of God was all over that situation. We had people who opened their homes up to us. We lived in three different places at different times, but one of the places was another pastor in town who said, come stay in our basement till you can figure this out. You got to have somewhere to sleep tonight, because we had nothing. So we stayed with him for 3 months. And then another family, a Christian family, came along and said, you know, we got a pretty nice basement. We don't have a basement suite, but if we may, is that me? I can. For all your sakes. And for mine, because it distracts me. You know, we had different people, and then the next, that family said, hey, listen, why don't you come? You can live there for free. This house had a beautiful lake view, 300, like just a 180, just a beautiful, beautiful, restful place. It was awesome. And then the church said, you know, you guys need a break. Why don't you take a 3-month sabbatical and just get your, you know, selves together. And we're going to pay you while you're off. And, you know, that was a transitional time in our church where those people had to step up to fill the gaps, and we never took those gaps back from them. People are still serving in that capacity, the things that were picked up, right? And then we had three different places, and then they had a family member that was sick and wanted to move in, and they said, we hate to do this to you, but could you possibly find somewhere else? We feel horrible, but my dad is sick and he has to come here for treatment. And we said, absolutely, we're out. We'll find something. We're so grateful that you let us stay here a year. That morning, another family phoned me. a lady from different church. We didn't know them well, but we knew who they were. And she said, I was woken up with a dream last night, and God spoke to me and said, we're supposed to give you our condo to use for as long as you need it. Man, we got to move 3 times? Wow, God, your favor is upon us. Our place burned down. Wow. God sent the news cameras, and they wanted to find the guy that carried the guy down the stairs. And we were standing there the next day just looking at this burnt rubble heap. And they came up and stuck the cameras in my face, and I was able to testify of God's goodness in our life and his favor. And even though we had lost everything, we still are richer than 2/3 of the world, and aren't we blessed? I could have said, this is horrible. I can't stand it. Why did this happen? My neighbor started the fire. We had a lady in there. They lost everything. We had so much furniture donated to us, we couldn't take it because we had nowhere to put it. We were just staying in people's houses. So guess what we did? They were renters, and so they just found another place. We went and offered them all the furniture that was given to us. Our furniture was all gone. All our beautiful furniture. But the generosity and the favor of God provided for us so that we could share what we were given with others. Circumstances don't determine the favor of God. The favor of God will determine your circumstances. It'll change how you see it. That doesn't mean we didn't lose everything in a fire. It doesn't mean that it didn't take 2 years to rebuild. It doesn't mean that not everything got put back in the place that was there before it burned down. It doesn't mean that we didn't go through some struggles. It didn't mean that my wife didn't cry many, many days because of this. It didn't mean that we didn't have some trouble, but it meant we had the favor of God upon our lives. The mighty hand of God was upon us through the whole thing. God's favor is relational. It's not transactional. That's the best way I can put it. The secret to Jesus' ministry was not that he only did what he saw the Father doing, but it was also that he said only what the Father was saying. That was the secret to Jesus' ministry. He stayed so close to the Father, he knew what to do, and he walked in the favor of God. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you some thoughts here on the favor of God. Number one, the favor of God creates an open heaven over your life. It creates opportunity. You look at the Nehemiah story, it created opportunity for him. Was there risk involved? Yes. But there was an open heaven. In fact, some of the commentaries, and I can't remember where I read it, and I'd love to be able to reference it, but I heard that they built, and maybe Pastor Rick can correct me if I'm wrong, but they built the wall faster than it was humanly possible. Nobody thought they could do it as quickly as that wall got built. Because everybody took their part of the wall, and they did what God, the favor of God, the hand of God was upon each person that did that, and they were able to accomplish the task way quicker. It was like a miracle. The open heaven over your life is created when you walk in the favor of God. When you walk in the favor of God, it opens up the windows of heaven over your life. It creates a shield of protection, as we heard in that psalm. It creates a shield of protection. I believe that the favor of God protected Sandy and I through that whole circumstance, that whole situation. It protected in so many ways, in so many times. In that trip to Mexico, we were sitting on the beach, and I tend to go on the optimistic, positive side to get through hard things. Like, I try to see where God is and see where his favor is. But I wasn't thinking about Sandy. And we're sitting on the beach in Mexico, and she's been pretty off. I probably could have used a better word, but I was trying to think of it, and it just wasn't coming. She was grieving. And I wasn't recognizing that. And so Mr. Positivity was annoying her. So we're sitting on the beach in Mexico, and all of a sudden she just like unleashes, just lamenting about the whole thing and how she, like, you know, she said, why is it so bad for me to be sad about this? And I said, honey, it's not bad to be sad about this. Why can't I just be real about it? And you know, the presence of God came on us at that beach. The favor of God came upon us. And it was amazing because we could feel the tangible shalom start to manifest in her heart as I acknowledged her pain and the grieving. You see, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through a difficult time or you're going to have a bad moment, but it means that Jesus is so close to you and his favor is so upon you that you can call on him anytime in those situations. And he'll meet you where you're at. He'll meet you where you're at. It will create conflict in the spirit realm. When you were walking in the favor of God, expect opposition. Remember Sambalak? It was opposition. There will always be opposition because the enemy of your soul does not want you to be free. But the favor of God is much more powerful than the lies of the enemy. Amen? It will create Godfidence in your identity. How many of you were here when I was here last year and I preached on Godfidence? That's having confidence in who God says you are. It gives you confidence when you're walking in the favor of God and under his protection and you're walking with him and you start to see what he's doing. You see what's strong instead of what's wrong. You start to notice, like, wow, God's moving here and he's doing that. It doesn't mean you're still not walking through the deep waters, but it doesn't mean that the storm's not happening, but it means you're under the shelter of the Most High God. It creates a deeper connection with Jesus. When you walk in the favor of God, the only way to really see it, experience it, understand it, is to be in close relationship with Jesus. I pray today that he opens the eyes of your heart to see this, to see his favor in your life. You being here today might be favor. He might have sent somebody in your path to encourage you. That's his favor. Start to see all his blessings as coming from his favor. Does that make sense? I want to give you a couple of last thoughts. Number one is his favor is not about, it's about him, it's not about you. This is part of our problem. We don't see the favor of God because how could he possibly favor us, right? How could he possibly do that? Sometimes we make it about ourselves. You know, that pride is sneaky. We think that if we had the favor of God on us, we would have more money, more this, more that. Prosperity message is a different message from the word. The favor of God is his affection for you. It's his love for you. It's his genuine desire to help you be all you can be. But it's about him. It's about who he is. It's not about who you are. If it was about me, I would never have received the favor of God. I would never have known to ask for it. Secondly, his favor is for him to be seen, not you. So his favor in your life is not actually for your benefit, although you benefit. It's actually for him to be seen through you. It's for him to express his extravagant love and grace to the people that have never met him in this world. He wants to manifest his favor in your life so that people will say, what is different about you? What am I seeing in you? The favor of God isn't that you are, you know, that you have more things than the next person, and so they ask you that, you must know God, you got lots of things. No, it's you're so close in relationship with him, it brings a level of peace into your life that the favor of God is witnessed by the people around you, and they want what you got. Lastly, his favor is to advance his kingdom, not yours. We get that mixed up sometimes in the church. Even with church growth, it's wonderful that Sunrise is expanding and growing, but it's for his kingdom. It's not for you. It's not for Sunrise, the brand. It's for Jesus, the King. is for Jesus the King. His favor in your life is to advance His kingdom, not ours. Isaiah 61:2 says, He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's why I'm here today. I was sent on this word. It was my time to come and tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. What that means is, whatever has captivated, whatever has captured you, whatever what has entrapped you, whatever chains of addiction or whatever it is that has gone around you, I'm declaring over you right now that it's time for the Lord's favor has come, and His anger is going to burn against those things that have tried to destroy you. That's what He wants to do. That's what His desire is. Whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever division is in your family, whatever heartache is there, He wants you to know today that His favor has come and His anger will push off what the enemy is trying to do. We don't fight against flesh and blood, folks. We fight against the principalities of darkness. And He is saying today, He's drawing a line in the sand in this hour. I believe we're seeing it all over the world. We need to just place ourselves under the favor of God. And we do that through relationship connection, through relational opportunity. Amen? Amen? So let me say this very clearly, in case you've missed it. I don't want you to miss this. Sunrise, you have the favor of God. You have the favor of God. Amen? You have the favor of God. Let's thank Him. And ask the worship team to come up. We want to pray for you. We're going to ask the prayer team to come on either side or wherever it is. You go to this side or that side or both. We're going to ask the prayer team to come up. And as we enter into some more worship here, the specific call today is, if you've been struggling to see the favor of God in your life, if you allowed the circumstances of your life to blind you from the favor of God, and you just need somebody to agree with you that His favor is with you and for you, that's the specific call for prayer. Now, you can come up and ask for prayer for anything, but I really am encouraging you, because here's the deal. When we understand the simplicity that the favor of God equals connection with God, when we understand the simplicity that the favor of God is already with you no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, His favor is with you. His grace is for you. His unmerited favor is for you. But sometimes life gets in the way and we just can't see it. We just can't see it. What I'd like to do today, and I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to pray for you so you can see the prayer warriors on each side. We're going to ask Jesus to open your eyes to the favor of God. The favor that He enjoyed, the favor of the Father that He enjoyed as He walked on the earth. Amen? Jesus, right now, we thank You. We thank You for Your favor. Lord, there's many things competing for that attention. And so today, right now, Jesus, prophetically, I just speak a release over the congregation, over each one here, over Sunrise, even those that are online or at Sunrise Maple Ridge, at the campus there. Lord, we release Your Spirit to move and remove blindness. Open our eyes, Lord, to see Your favor. Open our hearts to walk in connection with You. Jesus, we thank You for Your favor. Thank You that it's not up to us, it's up to You. Thank You, Jesus, that it's Your work, it's not ours, that makes the difference. So, Lord, open eyes today. We declare, we decree that eyes are opened to see and witness the favor of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now watch this week, folks. Start looking for the favor of God. Start seeing it all around you. See it at work. See it with your neighbors. See it with your families. Look for the favor of God, because His favor is always with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.